Here we go. Come on, go.
Well, 5, 7, 4.
But wait, there's more.
7:42.
Well, how do you do?
6:48. Text that number. It will be great.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be late. Text that number. Text that number.
Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. 5, 7, 4, 7, 4, 2, 6, 7, 4, 8.
Yeah. I think this is the news, according to me. Don't be a loser. Text that number. I'd like for all of you to participate with this adventure we call The News According to Me. 574-742-6748. Text in, and or you can call in. If by chance you call in, you can leave a message if I'm not, if I don't answer the phone. But if I do, you can actually possibly be on the show. If I'm in the middle of producing the show, you can... Well, that's just a lot of racket. Let's turn that down. If I'm actually in the middle of producing the show, you can be on the show, possibly, live, as we record it. It's a live recording. Commercial free. We don't have a sponsor yet. Probably never will. I don't know. I'm not sure we ever want to be beholden to anybody. When I say we, I mean me and Rabbi Rick. The morning mash is kind of usually just me. Occasionally, we may be able to have a guest on in the morning. Normally, I'll try to keep this morning mash thing down to about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Lately, it's been going a little longer because of all the news out there that seems to be happening rather quickly all the time. News cycle is a little bit, I don't know if you've noticed or not, there's quite a bit going on in the country lately. And I don't necessarily want to have a show that reports the news. I'm really, you know, the intention of this show is that I want to have a show that's about the news and the way the news is portrayed, or the way they, you know, the way they dress up the news and produce the news, literally, sometimes out of thin air. So, this morning, just want to remind you that. Well, it's Monday. It's Monday morning. And a lot has happened over the weekend. This morning, the official word now is that the Congress has just introduced articles of impeachment. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Also, the, you know, just talk. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that Lindsey Graham said in his little speech with regard to... The terrorist attack that we had on last Wednesday is what he, well, how he refers to it, is domestic terrorists. So we'll get into that a little bit. A lot of things like that out there that, it, just in my opinion, the rhetoric. I did write my congressman and my senator in this area. I was sorely disappointed in my senator, and he initially said he was going to object, and then he backed out. So I wrote him a letter. I would encourage all of you to write your congressmen and senators and let them know what's on your heart, what you think. I may be reading portions of that letter later, possibly. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, so let's, where to begin? Well, there's a lot of stuff. And this afternoon, I have to say, Rabbi Rick, if he's able to make it today, we will be able to do a lot more discussion. We're probably going to have at least an hour-long show this afternoon if he shows up. And if he doesn't, I'll have an hour-and-a-half-long show probably. It takes me a lot longer to say what the two of us can say because, you know, we talk over each other all the time. The thing of it is, there's just a lot of things coming out about what happened last Wednesday. I have yet to, there's one individual I know that went, their family went, most of their family went. I would really like to get in touch with them and talk to them about what they perceived and if they were there at Capitol Hill when everything happened and what their perception of that was. Everything I'm hearing from sources that I trust is very different than what the news is portraying. I know they're showing some video of some of the more, I would call it, violent stuff that's going on. But I don't know that, you know, that, I mean, I don't want to get into comparisons because one wrong that's worse than another doesn't make, you know, either one of them right. And just because other groups, organizations, ideas have attacked people, burned things down, and caused $2 billion worth of damage in the country, it doesn't justify what happened on Capitol Hill. And we're going to talk a little bit about where we put the blame in this whole situation. And, you know, we need to blame, put the blame on the right people. So, first of all, let me start in by saying this. There are a number of congressmen and senators right now who are acting out, and they're acting out of fear. Now, whether that's because they, whatever happened to them on Wednesday scared them and they're knee-jerk reacting to what's going on, or whether it's the fear of the press, the fear of their peers, the way they're going to be treated. Because we see how the President of the United States is being treated right now. JFK, not my favorite president, but certainly one of my more favorite Democrat presidents, if I have to choose from the Democrat side. He at least was a constitutional, old-style Democrat, a true, more of a libertarian liberal. I wouldn't agree with everything that he had going on with him. But he at least understood the rule of law. There was plenty of scandal in his presidency. Like I said, he's not, you know. But as far as some of the things he would say, here's a quote from him. The rights of every man are threatened when the rights of one man are diminished. Right now, we see one man whose rights, in my opinion, are being diminished. All of our rights are threatened. When the hand of big tech, when the hand of the monster, the beast, you might say, moves quickly enough that you can see it, people start waking up to the fact that it's there. I call it the evidence of things unseen. It's actually the opposite. There's a scripture. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence. And it's when you see footprints, if you're a hunter, you go out in the woods and you find sign, what they call sign, when you're looking for tracking an animal. And you find droppings, you find footprints. You find rubs on a tree if it's a deer. You might find broken twigs, limbs, areas where they've been moving through, path, you know, worn, that kind of thing. All those things are sign. You know there's a deer there. You know that the animal is there. You know how, and sometimes you know how long it's been since they've been there to some degree. So you're watching the shadow, basically, of where that creature has gone. Almost. It's more like the footprint of where that creature has been. they can, so you can track those kinds of things. You can see those kinds of things. You know that there's evidence. It's the evidence of something that's not seen. So you don't see the animal at the time, but you see the evidence of that thing being there. What we're witnessing now is that this, the power of the greed and the lust for power and control and more money becomes evident sometimes in the way things move. And we see that evidence today very, very clearly, if you're awake. And we know that there is something behind it. Now, people are usually motivated by something. And typically, it is a spirit of some kind. In other words, they have something in their heart that motivates them to do something. And what we're seeing now is the evidence of what that motivation is. And when you, there is just a literally, I call it a feeding frenzy on Capitol Hill right now. And there are a lot of people getting caught up in it. There are some quasi-Republicans in the House and the Senate getting caught up in this. It is absolutely ridiculous. And it's in my opinion, it just looks very treacherous in terms of the way they're acting, what they're doing. So here's a little, here's what I'd like to say. Who is to blame for this? Who's to blame? Let's take a look at this. Is it the people? Is it the people who didn't listen to the issues? All the judges who turned cases away, everybody thinks they turned them away because there was no evidence. They turned them away because they didn't want to look. They didn't look at the evidence. Turned them away on standing. Turned them away basically saying that they didn't have standing for a case. Because here's the problem. The judges basically are saying that they are not it's not in their jurisdiction to rule over election law. The Congress ignores the issue for the most part. There's some that are standing up for this and realizing, you know, it only takes, I don't know what they do all day. Apparently they're so busy that all they have time to do is try to keep impeaching the president. But here's the thing. If they have time, if they have 3 hours out of their day to listen to some of the top individuals with the data, the hard facts, the data of this election, I don't care if the states certified their election or not. Congress should hold the states in contempt. Because, frankly, it is absolutely impossible. It's some of these states, I could go through so many different things. Judication for one thing. In order to be able to adjudicate the numbers of ballots that they say they did in 2 days, actually in less than 2 days, is physically impossible. The number of voters, when you send out, say we send out 100,000 mail-in ballots and we get 150,000 back, there's something wrong with that process. There's something wrong there. And that happened. So there's a serious issue. And it's to say that there's not, you know, that this whole thing is legitimate, and just to let it go with this whole idea that it's just, they certified it, it's done now. Without, it's like they never took a pause. The only pause that happened was on Wednesday. And then they rushed it through after that without any discussion that they were going to have. You know, if legitimately the people who broke in, if they were legitimately Trump supporters and really breaking in because they were concerned about the country, which you can't tell me those, the individuals I saw, That is not the fabric of America there, folks. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. No disrespect intended, but I'm sorry. That's not your typical family person. You know, I don't know that any of those guys were going home to their kids. You know, with the average, that's just not the average person. It's not even the average Trump voter. It looked like so much of a stereotypical Trump voter, according to what the left says. But I digress. So do we blame the president? Incitement of insurrection is what the articles of impeachment say now. Incitement of insurrection, which I'm not even sure is in the penal code. I'd like to know what law exactly that is. This is like abuse of power. There's no law for that. It won't matter to the Democrats in the Senate. See, they're supposed to base it on a law that was broken. He is supposed to be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. In other words, some kind of a law had to have been broken. They can't find anything other than incitement of insurrection. That's not a law. I don't think it's a law. Somebody show me where that's a law. But that's what they're going after him for, because his speech, they're saying his fiery speech was a lot like a lot of other politicians would say. Oh, a lot of politicians will get fiery in their speeches, but this was different. His attitude was different. It was different. Okay, it's different because it's Orange Man Bad. That's why it's different. It's different because it's Trump. It's different because they have a hatred in their heart for this guy, and they are totally deranged and delirious in this hysterical fit of rage and anger. They're going after him. Him. Who should they go after? Here's the question. That's the real big question. Who should they go after? Who's to blame for breaking into the White House? I'll tell you exactly who's to blame. The people who broke into the White House. That's who's to blame. Let's go after them. Because they're the ones to blame. If we were to blame Democrat politicians for all the things that their followers say and do, they'd all be in prison for years because of the things that have been done after they have incited riot. You know, if you're not aware of what Maxine Waters said, if you're not aware of what Kamala Harris has said, if you're not aware of what Omar has said and many of the squad have said, and encourage the rioting, not the protests. They haven't come out and denounced the riots and the violence at all. They talk about this violent attack on the White House, on the Congress on Wednesday. They keep saying it was domestic terrorists and it was a violent attack. Most attacks are violent, by the way. Now, I didn't see them burning the place down. I didn't see them. You know, there were some people who got hurt. Also had this other issue of another police officer now has died from the riots. You know how he died? Suicide. I guess someone pressured him into it. They must have been reading one of Hillary's books and learned how to do that. And let me be very clear here. I don't mean any disrespect to this man. It breaks my heart that someone took their life, because let me tell you, regardless of where you are in life, it's not that bad. Your life is worth living. Get some help before you do something like that. Now, may he rest in peace, and my condolences go out to his family. And I also want to say thank you for your service to our country, regardless of which side of the aisle you were on. I see a lot of comments on YouTube about this guy It's just basically saying, the guilt got to him because he let people in, whatever it was, or Hillary, got to him. He was suicided. He was Epstein'd. All this stuff. What breaks my heart most is that the media is using him as another wedge. He's another victim of what happened on Wednesday. I think there was probably a lot of problems going on in his life before Wednesday. It's not something someone decides to do at that point. Now, maybe he feels responsible. Maybe he felt responsible for something. I don't know. It's still not worth taking your life. And I want to make that very clear. Sometimes people just start throwing out comments and being mean, and I can't. Let's put the blame where the blame is due. In fact, speaking of that, let's talk about one individual who was there walking around in the Capitol. A particular individual by the name of John Sullivan. John Sullivan. You would think he'd be in jail today. You'd think he'd be charged with something. You would think he'd be facing a court case. No, John is not. John was taken into custody. Later that afternoon, he was on TV being interviewed. He wasn't in jail, wasn't charged. Oh, by the way, John Sullivan is a bona fide card-carrying member and activist with the BLM. He's also an anti-government revolutionary, Marxist. He held a rally of his own that day with a lot of people there in his little group. When asked why he was in there, he said he just wanted to walk around and look and see what was there. Oh, okay, go ahead. We'll let you go then. You're okay. See you later. Thank you very much. Oh, but there's a guy who put his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Let's throw him in jail for 10 years. He's not getting any slack. I don't know who the guy is. I think it's atrocious that he did what he did. But I think I am like millions of other Americans, sick of the double standards. I think we're sick of justice taking off her blindfold and having two sets of rules. There's actually three or four sets of rules. There's one set of rules just for people in government who are actually, this is actual documented information here. They are not held to the same laws that they pass. They have exemptions to those laws. Did you know that a congressman can stand up in the podium and lie and be protected? A congressman, a representative of the state, of a population in their state, can be up there in the lectern lying, saying whatever they want to about whoever they want to. Somebody like Harry Reid, for instance, when he stood up and said, word on the street has it that Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes in the last 10 years. And then when asked about it later, he said, well, he didn't win, did he? He knew it wasn't true when he said it. They were fellow Mormons. One Mormon ratting on another. But it was justified because they didn't win, did he? Here's an interesting little fact. If I stand before Congress, and they ask me a question and I lie about it, guess where I'm going? Yeah. You won't see me for a while. How is that just and fair and good? That's blasphemy. that spits in the face of justice. Especially when a person who's up there lying, of course, they always forget this, but they're representing all the people who voted for them. They're not speaking for themselves. They're speaking for the people they represent. And they're really speaking for the Constitution, because we send them there to protect our rights, to defend us, which is their first job to do, to make sure our rights aren't being encroached on, not to try to find us new rights, because I don't want rights that Congress can give me, because Congress can take them away. That goes down a whole other money trail. So the people who did this are the people to blame. They're the ones who need to be held accountable for this. And I see congressmen playing this game of blaming all Trump supporters, blaming Trump. And it's just absolutely asinine. They're jumping on this frenzy emotional wagon that can have no good. It cannot end well, because you're continuing. It plays right into the momentum right now. And this is why we see Parler being marginalized, being destroyed. It's going to be hard for them to come back from this. I mean, they can, but it's going to be hard for them. And deplatforming people, what they're doing to the president, they can do to any of us. If they can do it to them, they can do it to anybody. And so Twitter and Parler Amazon, AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, they have a whole network of servers, and a lot of people rent and use AWS for their server system, because they rent out web services. And you can host a website there. You can host your app there. It's one of the major ones in the country. Everybody talks about using AWS. And unless you have your own servers, of course, then you have to have an incredible amount of bandwidth to handle traffic. And it's, and then your internet speed has to be high, your data transmission is high, all those things have to be in line, or else your website will crash when you get about 100 people in there. So people use, the big tech things. What we really need is a digital bill of rights, much like we have in the airline industry. We have a passenger bill of rights. If you're going to travel on an airline, you have certain rights, and it's uniform across the board with every airline, things that they have to provide, because it's a government. The FCC regulates internet commerce. The SEC, data transmission. So it's because they're transmitting data, you're transmitting. So it's an FCC, it's an FEC, it's an SEC thing. They're all involved in all the stuff that goes on the internet. So, I digress. I'm going way long on some of this stuff, but I just wanted to be very clear about that. And I hope, in fact, I'm going to read a part of the letter. I'll read through it a little bit here. This is the letter I sent to my senator. I was very disappointed that you didn't object to the electoral process and election issues in the joint session of Congress on the night of the 6th. I was impressed to see Representative Walarski on the list of objectors. She's in the Congress. I know that the objection may not have changed anything in Congress, but frankly, it did change my view of you. Right up front, I will say, I am never going to vote for you again. I have always voted Republican, but now I realize it doesn't matter. My wife and I are normal people. We've been married for 31 years, lived in Indiana most of our lives. I have a lot of friends all over the country. I would like to let you know how me and my friends see what has taken place in Washington right now. The way I see it, the reaction to shrink back and disassociate from questioning the glaring irregularities, I put irregularities in quotes, of the election, are simply irrational. I see an entire body of leaders, quote, leaders, that are acting out of fear and pressure from peers and the press. And everyone in my circles, Yes, even the Democrats see it that way as well. Kelly Loeffler's excuse sums it up, and here's what she said. The violence, the lawlessness, and siege of the halls of Congress are abhorrent and stand as a direct attack on the very institution my objection was intended to protect. The sanctity of the American democratic process. So I went on to write, please explain to me and the millions of people that voted for President Trump how the actions of a few lawless people changed the view of the questionable election, and how objecting to the process condones, incites, or agrees with the attack. To me and others, it looked at the very least like a knee-jerk reaction out of fear. I would go further. Frankly, to me, it looks cowardice. As for the current feeding frenzy to impeach President Trump, yet once again, led by a rabid and deranged bunch of leftist liars, this will only further to divide and polarize the nation further. So you'd further too many times in there. His speech on the 6th did not incite the, quote, attack, period. Take a close look at the thugs that started it and see who you are caving to. They are telling us that the only president in generations who has not gotten us into war and has had more peace agreements than his predecessors, and the only president to step foot into North Korea, that we were too bold, that we were told, okay, I put this in parentheses here, the only president to step foot in North Korea, and then I put in a note here, that we were told would be our next war under Hillary. That president is going to go off the deep end and launch the nukes. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer going around him to subvert his power by talking to the military and asking them to disobey their commander-in-chief should be an absolute high crime. Ask the commanding generals how they would like it if she went around them and told their general's subordinates to ignore or disobey their generals. Let me just say that if the Senate goes along with this impeachment, it will be the end of the Republican Party. Maybe it already is. And, not that I condone it, but there are people who will start taking action that will be much worse. I'm concerned that we are headed straight into a civil war and Congress has their foot mashed down on the accelerator. And I went on to basically give him a salutation and one of the things I said at the end here is handing our government over to a group of people who hate the nation and want to burn it to the ground is not a better option than putting up with a man who tweets, putting up with mean tweets from a guy that some people loathe. That was my letter, and it pretty much explains everything where I stand and where I'm going with all this. It's just disgusting. 12 days left in his presidency, and less than that now. 10 days left, supposedly. 9, I guess. And they want to rush through. All of a sudden, they have time on their schedule to rush through an impeachment process. They have time for that. And I don't trust the Senate right now. I don't trust the Republicans in the Senate right now. They're going along to get along, and it will be the end of them. if they go along with this impeachment and they end up getting 2/3 of the Senate to say yes to this. My understanding is Mitch McConnell scheduled the impeachment process for the 20th, or the hearing for the 20th. My guess is, and this is what I think Mitch is going to try to pull, on the very last day, in the morning, they're going to vote. He's going to try to get enough votes to impeach President Trump right before inauguration. So for 30 minutes or an hour, Mike Pence will be the president. And of course, he will be at the inauguration. I see all this is playing out. So technically, the president will be there. It'll be Mike Pence. And they will have impeached him, President Trump, and he will never be able to run for office again, which is their goal. They're also going after the 25th Amendment if they can, because they're saying that Trump is crazy. I think the letter pretty well explained it. Pretty well sums up how I feel about it. Some of the other things. Later on today, I'll talk about what's going to happen on the show later today. I'm going to have some audio of what Lindsey Graham said right after the... it was the events, I guess it would have been Wednesday night. It was his little speech that he gave to Congress. It was either Wednesday night or Thursday morning. And some of the things he said, the rhetoric that is coming out of some of them is just absolutely ridiculous. Now, Lindsey has walked back some of his statements in a little bit with regard to this impeachment issue. And I hope that they're hearing the people. I hope people are getting in touch with their congressmen and senators. And please, if you write your congressman, please write your congressman and your senator. But please refrain from being unhinged. Try to articulate an intelligent argument. I know this has been kind of my morning shows have been a little bit heavy lately because there's just a lot going on, and it's a serious time in our country. I'm a fun-loving guy. I love it when Rick comes in because we can laugh about stuff, and we just look at each other and it makes us laugh. So that's helpful. But it's a serious time in our country. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you texting comments. Of course, now we're not going to be on Parler anymore. That's the main place I used to post this podcast. So I'm going to try to get in touch with people other ways. Facebook, The News According to Me, just Facebook/ The News According to Me. That's one way of getting in touch with me. Getting the show. If you can also subscribe on iTunes, Spotify. It's out there all over the place. Just look for us if any way you can. I should have got this notice out before Parler went down, because 90% of the traffic we get is clicks through Parler right now. So hopefully they'll be back up again and be able to do something. We also on Twitter. I think it's TNA to me. The number two, I think TNA two, the number two, and then me on Twitter. But I don't always post on Twitter. I'm not very active on Twitter. Don't really like Twitter. So that's all there is for now. And hopefully all of you have a great week. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Once again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to call or text. Texting is great. And if you want us to give you a call during the show while we're producing it, just let me know. 574-742-6748 is the number, and you can call or text at any time, and we'll try to answer your question on the next show. This is The News According to Me. God bless. Have a great day. Have a great week. Keep praying for our president and this nation. It's bigger than Trump. It's all about our nation now. Today, producing a show at 4:30, or about 4 o'clock. We should be in the production room about 4 o'clock. So try to text in by then. Thanks again. Have a great day.